and a house. Hallelujah. Good to see y'all this morning. Kids, be dismissed to Sunday school at this time. We'll get into the Word of God this morning. Did that not pop up on the screen? John chapter 6. Be finding John. St. John chapter 6 this morning. We'll talk about how Jesus is the bread of life. And how he got this kind of title, I guess, or why he's associated with bread. Do a little background. If you read right before John 6 a little bit, he fed the 5,000 with bread and fish. Took a little boy's lunch and he multiplied it. He took a little bit and made a lot out of it. That's what God does in our lives, right? He takes a little bit and can make a lot out of it. He can take a small seed, he can multiply it. I believe in seed and harvest. I believe that we plant a seed and then God waters it, grows it, and reproduces it and multiplies it. And so what happened here is Jesus was teaching all these people. Well, they were hungry. So he took a little boy's lunch, fish and bread, just a little boy's lunch, and he ended up feeding over 5,000 people with this. And so he crossed over to the other side. They don't know how he got there, but they came to him and says, Master, how'd you get over here? How'd you get here? And they didn't really care about the miracle part. They knew they were fed before and wanted to know more about that. And what I got thinking about is we seek so hard to feed the flesh because that's what we're born into. We want to satisfy the demands of our flesh, whether it be through money, through food, through spending money, through shopping, through collecting, through all of the stuff that it feeds the flesh. I mean, you may not can pay your power bill, but that guy's going to go buy that 1967 Corvette and restore it. He's going to have six rusted-out cars in the backyard and can't provide for his family, but he's going to buy them cars. It's because we're trying to feel something that can never be filled with what we're feeding it with. I use an example of lemonade. Most of us, probably most of us, I know there's always you troublemakers, but most of us, like a cool, sweet glass of lemonade. There's very few that don't like lemonade. All right, now lemonade's good. I like a good old, remember that, I grew up, you know, I'm old school, the old Country Time commercials. Remember old Country Time lemonade commercials? And man, when you see a glass of lemonade, it just makes you just want it. And you can drink that cold lemonade in the middle of July out in the field, but guess what? You're still thirsty, aren't you? It makes you thirstier. I'm a sweet tea drinker. If sweet tea was alcohol, I would be saying I'm James Lewis and I am an alcoholic, if it was alcohol. I love sweet tea, but you know what? Sweet tea actually dehydrates you. It takes fluid out of your body. And so that's why sweet tea, though it's good, we like our McDonald's, our Bojangles, our Cookout, Army Pueblo. I can give you all the good tea places, let me know. I pick my tea first, then my food second. And so I love my tea, but it makes you actually thirstier. You got to keep drinking, drinking, drinking. But when you drink water, that satisfies. Oh, that satisfies. I know I'm out doing my yard mowing and I come in the house. All I want is water. I don't want tea then. I'm so hot. I'm so dehydrated. I begin to chug water. I mean, I chug it and chug it till I about get sick because I want to get satisfied. We are living in a world that we think that fulfilling our fleshly demands will satisfy our inner man, but it doesn't. And this is the point Jesus, we're going to talk about, is trying to tell them, quit trying to satisfy the natural and satisfy the supernatural. Because all of this stuff's going to pass away. Corvettes break down. Houses burn down. Husbands and wives leave each other. Kids move away. The dog dies. The bird flies the coop. All that happens, church. But the one thing that remains is Jesus. The one thing that stays steadfast that you can count on any day of the week is Jesus and what he has done in your life and the security of your future in Christ. That remains steadfast. You can take that to the bank. You may say, I do 40 years ago, and hopefully you make it, but you may not make it 40 years. But when you say, yes, Lord, be my Lord, He says, I do, and I will forevermore. And I won't run out on you, and I won't cut ties, and I won't abandon you, and I won't leave you. Because when I come into your life, I satisfy not just tomorrow, but forever, through every season, through every storm, through every trial, through every doubt, through every fear, I satisfy. I have proven to stand the test of time. Though seasons change, I change not. Though problems arise, I change not. Though battles arise, I change not. Though you change, I change not. You can't outrun what I've done for you. You can't outsin what I've done for you. Because it is perfect, it is holy, it is pure, it is constant, it is eternal. Hallelujah. This is the bread I'm talking about. The bread that satisfies. Have you ever eaten at Texas Roadhouse, anybody? Texas Roadhouse Steakhouse. I got one in Hickory, got one in Winston. They're good. The thing I love about them is this. Oh, the thing I love about them, they carry the bread basket with you to the table. There's none of this bogus, it's in the oven. It's a conspiracy, I'm telling you. They know it's 12 o'clock. Why are they still in the oven? They're supposed to be out of the oven, ready to serve the people. What if y'all came here on Sunday and I says, I can't start preaching. It's still in the oven. Just wait a few minutes. God will get to me in a minute. Hang on. The thing I love about Texas, they bring the rolls out when they seat you. You've got immediate food in hand. I like that. And I love me some bread, and I know it's one of the worst things you can eat. It's got sugar, it's got junk, it's got white flour, it makes you big and fat. I know that. But man, I love me some bread. But here's the thing about natural bread. Though it satisfies for a little while, it eventually wears off. But the bread that Jesus is talking about never fails. Let's get some scripture. We're going to start chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse... What am I starting at? 26. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus is letting them know, don't just look for what I can give you now. Look at what I can give you forever. Don't labor just for that which feeds our flesh here, but labor for that, or receive that, which will secure you forever. We all know as Christians that this is not our final stop. That it doesn't stop here. It doesn't end here. There's so much more to this life than this. And I am so thankful for that. Because when sickness comes and trials come and storms come and tragedy comes and grief comes and pain comes, we can always rest assured all of this will pass away because I've got the real bread of everlasting life. And when I lay this down here on the earth, I pick up what God has waiting on me. Labor not for that here in the earth, but labor for that which is eternal. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou, that we may see and believe you? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, and I love this part, and I don't think I've ever caught this part till this time studying this. He said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. How many times I've skipped over that part, not really capturing that? He's saying Moses, they're saying Moses gave us bread. No, Moses didn't do it. I did it. God did it. It wasn't about Moses. It was about God. So many times we place our faith in man and not God. God is the one that blesses us through people, yes, but it's God's hand that does that. It's God that gets the credit and the glory for all of his blessings. It's God that woke us up. It's God that keeps us alive. It's God that watches over our families. It's God that keeps us safe at night. It's God that heals our body. It's God that pays our bills. It's God that fills our kitchen. It's God that does all that. Not man, not religion, not church. It is God that does that. And I never caught that before. Really reading that, I'm like, Moses didn't give you that, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus is that bread that satisfies. He is the one from heaven that came for the purpose of giving his life for the world. A world that rejected him. A world that still rejects him. Ashley had her surgery Thursday for her wisdom teeth. Why she's not here today. She had all four wisdom teeth removed. And, of course, they put you on all them drugs, you know, when you come out. And we got her on video. It was hilarious. I was telling Destin about it a little bit last night. And this girl just loves some Jesus. Let me tell you that. She talked about Jesus, about being baptized. She said, y'all got to come to Living Word. My dad's the best preacher. Y'all got to get baptized. And I said, you got baptized, Ashley? I know I did. That's why I'm testifying right now, Dad. She's talking about that. And here's what she said when she was high. I thought it was so funny. Can't believe I'm saying that about this one. She said, she goes, everybody says there ain't no God, there ain't no Jesus, da, 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 da. Well, I hate to tell them, whether they like it or not, they all got Jesus, whether they like it or not. And I'm sitting there thinking, how profound is that? That Jesus truly is available to all people, right? And whether you choose to believe him or not, does it make him not real? I can say all morning long, Cora's not here today. Would y'all believe me? No, because you hear her. And you see her. So just because you say something isn't true doesn't make it not true. And so they're sitting here and Jesus is saying, I'm the true bread and I came to give my life for the world. That's right. Ashley even said in her moment, she goes, even if they got 666 tattooed on, it don't mean nothing. They still got Jesus. I mean, she was preaching it. She goes, that don't mean nothing. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, you know, the power of Jesus to come into the world that loved us first, that loved us beyond, that loved us in spite of, that loved us through all of our stuff, knowing that when he called our name, we wouldn't always walk the right road, but he called our name. And when he called our name, it wasn't a mistake. He didn't call our name and say, oh, I'm sorry. You couldn't hold your end of the bargain, so I'm letting you go. The Bible says that he will reject no one that comes into him. He will in no wise cast out anyone that comes to him. This is the true bread to save the world. Verse 34, they said to him after they heard this, Lord, give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, of course, we know we have things in our lives we desire. I know that. God gave us things in life. We need a house to live in. We need a car to drive. We got to have food in the kitchen. We work a job. There's other parts of our lives that are important. But what Jesus is saying here is when you have me, there's nothing beyond that you need. I got thinking about it this way. We can have everything in place. We can have money, home, relationships. We can have everything just perfect. I can have a full head of hair again and my red Corvette. Everything could be perfect, all right? But I don't have Jesus. Or I could have nothing in my life but have Jesus. Which one's more important? Absolutely. It is better to have Jesus and nothing than to not have Jesus and have everything. What does the Bible say? What shall a man do? You know, gain the whole world, lose a soul. It doesn't matter. All of this passes away. And the older we get, the more we see things passing away, don't we? Our legs don't walk like they used to. You know, our eyes don't see like they used to. Our ears can't quite hear, and our bones may ache a little bit, and we walk a little bit slower. Melanie saw a little man yesterday walking across the parking lot, and she told me, "So, you know, just think at one point he didn't walk like that. Now he can barely move." All of that passes away. For some, it's faster than others. But the thing that Jesus did doesn't pass away. I would rather have that bread and never have to thirst or hunger again, knowing, Lord, I'm satisfied now, and I'm satisfied forevermore. Because what you have waiting on me is far greater than anything or possession or accomplishment I could ever have on the earth. Because all of this junk passes away. You can't take it with you, is the old saying. And that's the truth. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He's saying, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've said. I don't care what you've looked at. I don't care how many times you've been married or not married. How many women you slept with or haven't slept with. I don't care what you've done in your life. If you come to me, I'm not going to reject you based on you. I'm going to offer you. Notice when you go to Texas, how many people do they carry bread baskets for? Everybody. I've never saw one where they didn't carry. Well, I'm not carrying. You don't get no bread. Follow me. They carry bread baskets for every person they sit down. I've watched them. And they do it for every person. All Texas people get bread. All God's people are received when they come to Him. They're not rejected because of their stuff, because of their junk, because of their sin. Lord, here I am. I come to you. I want this bread. Will you feel me? Yes, son. Yes, daughter. I will feel you. We got to be very careful. We put people in a box, and we try to determine who is worthy of the bread and who's not, because we've not been there or done that. I've not walked many roads that many of you have. I know that. I don't have a biography I can write that'll be a bestseller. My life's been pretty boring. I don't have no good stories. I've not been chased by the cops. I've not been thrown in jail. I've not jumped off bungee cord off a bridge. I've not, you know, gotten a bar fight. I'm boring. I am vanilla. Plain as it gets. Don't have no good stories. Some of y'all do, and that's great. I guess I do have one good story, that God kept me from bar fights, and God kept me from jail, and God kept me from running from the cops. So I've got the keeping power of God, who kept my life on a pretty narrow path against my own will sometimes. I didn't like that path, man, but God kept me there. So I don't have some of those stories, but I do know this as a pastor of many years and as a Christian of many years and reading God's word and feeling God's presence, that it doesn't matter if you've got a checkered past or if you're squeaky clean, so to speak. God will accept you and receive you like you are. When man rejects you, the living bread won't. When man says no, God says yes. And that's the beauty of the love and the mercy of Jesus. He will not reject you. He will not cast you out, no matter what you have done. He said, verse 38, "For I come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." That's the promise we have. God's got us. When Joe Brown gave his heart to the Lord back in his 30s, just a few years ago, God says, "I've got you, and I'm not losing you." Through his stubbornness, through his mistakes, through his failures, God says, "Joe Brown, you are mine forevermore now." At the last day, when the trumpet sounds, guess what? Resurrection time. Glorified body time, kingdom of God time, child of God forever time, redemption time. Joe has that promise because God says, "I will lose none that God gives me." That's a pretty good guarantee. "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is why we don't have to fear death as a Christian. Because we don't truly taste death. we have everlasting life. It's what he said. For those of us that believe in him, the Son shall have everlasting life. That means life that doesn't end. That means ongoing forever and ever and ever. That means death's been overcame, death's been conquered, the grave's been conquered because Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus was the first fruits of them that would follow him into eternal life. He raised from the dead in a mortal body, so we too shall be raised, and we shall have a mortal but immortal body, again redeemed by God forevermore. We have a life waiting on us that the devil can't do nothing about. Man, this bread's real, and this bread feels. My title started to be this, but it's too corny, so I changed it. My original title was going to be this for this message. If you don't want to be dead, eat the bread. That's just a way of putting it. But that's not very professional on the website, so we went a little more conservative. Verse 41. Y'all remember that part, though, won't you? If you don't want to be dead, eat the bread. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? So they didn't understand the virgin birth concept. They didn't understand because they saw Mary and Joseph carry Jesus as human beings, but didn't understand that this seed of Jesus did not come through man and woman interaction. It came through the breath of the Holy Spirit, breathing on Mary's womb and putting that child there. That child did not come from the seed and the loins of Joseph. It came from the throne of God. It came apart from all sin, all filth, all impurity. And that's why Jesus is the perfect holy Lamb of God that could give his life for the world. He could give it because he was qualified to give it. And no other man was. Even as good as Job was and Abraham was and all these men we read about, they weren't qualified to give their life to the world, but Jesus was. Then Jesus heard a murmuring, and he said, why do you murmur among yourselves? No man come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, come to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except he is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He's the bread. That's how we have life, through Jesus. Not through keeping works, not through doing stuff. We have life because Jesus gave that life for us. He paid that price that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what he came to do. He is the bread that fills us. We eat the bread here, we go away hungry. We eat his bread, we're filled forever. I'd rather have Jesus and nothing than not have him and everything. Because what have you got if you don't have Jesus? You have nothing. All of our lives are going to end, church. We don't like to talk about it. We have wheels in place. We buy grave plots because every man knows their day is coming when they won't be here on the earth anymore. Whether that's through Jesus capturing us here or whether it's us laying down this flesh. But we know that all of us, no matter how many medicines we take, and some of those medicines take you to the grave quicker, just saying. Some of the stuff that we put in our bodies that we try to, you know, we try to stay young. We try to extend our years. Remember what Jesus says? That can't one person add a cubit. It's really talking about can't add a year to their life. You can't add any years to your life that God don't want you to have. You take care of yourself. But think about this. If we really believe our hands in the hand of God. Now, I'm not saying you go out and binge, okay? I'm going to smoke it up, drink it up, dope it up, and eat it up. Woo, God's got me. I ain't saying none of that. We need to take care of what God's given us. That's what makes good sense. He gave us one body to live in. We can't trade her in like we do a 67 Chevy. Okay, we get miles on this thing, we stuck. We can't trade her in. Now, some of y'all do trade people in. That's bad, very bad. But you know what I mean. You can't trade yourself in. You know, when you get a certain, you're 50 years old, you're 50. You got the miles of a 50-year-old. Good or bad. Good genes, bad genes, skinny, fat, bald, hairy, whatever you are. You're 50 years old, and that's what you are. And God gave you one body. So, yes, we need to take care of it. But we spend so much effort trying to extend our natural life because we don't want to leave this earth that we fail to remember the real life starts there. Oh, man, our real party. You know the old song, let's get this party started, huh? Get it started, huh? The real party is there. So we can do all we can. We can eat right and not smoke and not drink and exercise and not eat no fried foods and not eat no starches and not eat no white things, sour cream, mayonnaise, potatoes, rice, all that flour, you know, all the white stuff they tell you not to eat. Nothing, no, eat nothing white. It's all bad for you except snow cream. It's all bad for you. That comes from God. That can't be bad. But it doesn't change the fact that we still, whether we're 85 or if we're really work hard and make it to 90, woohoo, that's 5 more years, and then you're in eternity. We live our lives, and it goes by so quickly. The average age in America for a man is, what, about late 70s, 78, 79, average age of life. So if you make it to 80 years old as a male in the United States of America, you have beat the odds. But what is 80 when you're already 50? That ain't so far off, is it? Man, I only got 30 years left. I mean, today's in the 80s, like, good Lord, 80, man, we'll be living on Mars by then. But she will find out how quickly 80 comes. It's like, man. So we try to feed our lives here. We try to extend our lives here. We try to satisfy our lives here. And we pursue dreams and goals that are good, but sometimes they can take us away from the purpose of God. God, I've got one shot of being here, and I want it to be the best life possible and use it wisely, what you've given me. So teach me, God, to search for those things that are eternal and seek those things and not the things that are natural, because all this is going to pass away. I am the living 51, right? 49, sorry. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. Think about that. That's what it says. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. That's why I said, eat the bread, you won't be dead. Think about that. If we receive this life of Jesus and we give our lives and hearts to him, say, Lord, I know the only way to escape death is believing in you, then all of a sudden, death is no longer an enemy against our lives. Torment and darkness and separation and judgment is no longer a part of that equation. Lord, I've given you my heart and my life, and you told me if I do that, I will not die. I will have everlasting life. For I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I think about all those that reject God in this generation, that talk about him, that blaspheme against him, that say they don't believe in a God. They don't believe, and they live their lives with no regard to a future. They live their lives with no regard of what Christ has done for them. He gave his life for them too. He didn't just give his life for the good ones, the ones that follow him, the ones that serve him, the ones that love him, the ones that believe in him. He gave his life for the whole world, for all of humanity. Just as in one man sin and death reigned from Adam all the way, so in one man Christ have they been made righteous. One man, the price Jesus paid, canceled out the sin of Adam. And if we will believe that and receive that, we won't die. We'll live forever. Precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints. Precious. It's precious. What a price was paid for us to have this life. What a beautiful price was paid for us not to die. Man, I'm thankful for that. The Jews, therefore, they were upset about this, and they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh, the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat, and my blood is drink. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, it was against Jewish law to drink blood. So this was really going against something that they had always been taught, so they didn't understand, what do you mean drink blood? I got thinking about this. If you remember the old covenant, how it used to be, when they would bring sacrifice to the altar, they would bring their ram, their calf, their goat, their bird, whatever they could afford, they would bring it. And the priest would lay his hands upon the animal and pray that all the sins of the people would be in that animal. So the flesh of that animal took on the sin of man. Then he would slaughter that flesh, kill that animal, burn that animal, and then take the blood and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And that blood then would purify the people. This is what Christ is saying. I am the Lamb that has taken on all of your sin. And then my blood being spilt, has been sprinkled on the mercy seat behind the Holy of Holies for you. That you can be free and redeemed and forgiven. And not just for a year or for a day or for a month. But I'm the last sacrifice. I'm the last blood spilled. I'm the last lamb that needed to be slain. Forevermore you are sealed. Forevermore you are saved. Forevermore you are secure. I'm the last deal. That's the power of it. That's what he's trying to tell his disciples or tell his people. No more sacrifice. I'm the Lamb of God. I'm the bread of life. My flesh and my blood will sanctify you and justify you forevermore. That's the price Jesus paid. He is the living bread, the bread of life. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. How many times through these verses have we seen eternal life, live forever, not die, over and over and over and over? Jesus trying to drill the point home. Look, trust me, not going to die. Follow me, not going to die. Believe in me, not going to die. Your ancestors are dead. They died. The manna from heaven, the bread that came in those days of that Passover was great. It sustained them, but it wasn't for eternity. It was for that moment. What I give you is for eternity. Not just for a moment, but it's for all moments, forevermore. Stay with me here. We'll finish. We'll get this out. I got a few more verses. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples. Now, look at this. This verse caught me, too, reading it, studying this time. Many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to him, "Doth this offend you?" Well, we're in that generation now, aren't we? "What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I to you that no man can come to me except he were given to him of my Father." And look at verse 66. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." What's the old song? "I've been too far to go back now. Come too far, turn back now." They had seen Jesus and they had followed him, but when he said this, they left and they walked away. They didn't stay the course. They didn't let the revelation of what he said sink in to the point that it kept them steadfast. There's so many times that we may hear something that's not what we're used to hearing. Let God speak to you on that. Don't just cut ties and run. Because that's what you've always heard. God has a message for today. God has a movement for today. And it's not the same movement as 100 years ago. He's the same God, yes. But there are different seasons and there are different movements and there are different times. There are different dispositions of time. There are different generations and God speaks to those uniquely for their generation. And God is sharing some revelation, and they couldn't handle it. And so they walked away, and they left. And then Jesus said to the 12, will you go away also? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? I love this verse. You have the words of eternal life. Man, where am I going to go? Man, you got the whole enchilada. You got the whole bag of chips here. I mean, ain't nobody can give me more than that. You have promised eternal life. Dr. Oz can't give you that, church. Dr. Phil can't give you that. Dr. Jekyll and Hyde can't give you that. You know, I mean, think about this. He is giving them, promising them eternal life. And Peter says, I'm not going nowhere because you have what I need. And you have what I want. And I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to trust you unto the end. Man, if we would make the same commitment to God and His word, His covenant, as we do to things in this world. I mean, we got folks that'll commit to their sports teams to the point they're a maniac. When I asked Bill the other night, I said, are you ready for August 26th? He went, oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, football. No, Sunday school. Oh, yeah, Sunday school. You see where his mind went? I'm like, man, come on now, get with it. Get in the spiritual zone. But, man, do any of you yell at your TVs during a game? If you yell, raise your hand. Be honest. If you yell at your TV. Yeah. We make noise, don't we? Y'all know they can't hear you. But when we yell in the house of God, guess who hears us? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ hears the praises of His people. We have someone to celebrate that matters. And that's why we make noise. For these quiet churches, man, I couldn't preach in no quiet church. I can tell you that right now. I would die in a quiet church. I'm not cracking. I'm just saying, how can you be quiet when you're in the house of God, when there's verse after verse? Man, we're celebrating Jesus. We're coming together to honor God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord, the greatest, greater Lamb, the highest who's ascended, the Rose of Sharon. Thank you, Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Almighty Redeemer, the Healer, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Protector, the Provider. All of that you are, God. How can I stay silent in a moment like that? Man. And now I know that I've got eternal life, and nobody can give me that. Nobody. But Jesus. Last verse, 69. Peter says, we believe and we are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now we know what happened to Peter. He got a little cowardly there at the end, didn't he? Yeah, they came to Peter and Jesus told him, you'll deny me three times before the bird crows. And he did. He denied him three times. But here's what I love about it. Who was the first one out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost? Peter came out of that room. God used him. God chose him. God didn't get rid of him. Just because Peter denied him publicly three times because he was scared, he was still God's child. And when it came time in that upper room and that mighty rushing wind rushed in and filled those 120 people, Peter came out with a boldness and a power and an authority he didn't have before. He went from being a coward to being courageous. He went from being bashful to being bold. He went from being weak to being strong because Jesus had filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter preached that until he was martyred, as well as the other disciples. Preached, he was martyred. He's the living bread. Come on up here, Marjorie. Get ready to sing something. He is our living bread, church. If you don't know this living bread, if you are trying to satisfy your life with stuff and not Him, it's a futile battle. You're going to just continually, and we know these things. We know that when we drink, when we're depressed, we do drugs and we're depressed, we go sleep with somebody when we're depressed. We go shopping when we're depressed. Some of y'all do that. Just makes me feel better when I go buy something. Yeah, now you're in debt. When we do those things because we're trying to vent in some way, it may give us a temporary buzz or a temporary high or a temporary satisfaction. But then the problem is still there. and we're still empty, and we're still bankrupt, and we're still not filled. The old saying, Chinese food, right? Don't feed you very long, does it? You go to a Chinese buffet and pig out, and 2 hours later you're hungry again. Or I am. I don't know. I mean, I don't eat Chinese much no more. But it's, you know, there's an old saying about that, right? Chinese don't fill you up very long. I don't know why. I mean, it's carbs, noodles and rice. I don't. But it seems like when you eat Chinese, it don't. But man, you get a big old steak and a good old baked tater and some bread. Man, you sleep like a dog for about 4 hours. You go into a coma. I mean, you're out. Oh, you're satisfied. If we could learn that Jesus wants to satisfy you today. What you going to sing, Marge? Where are you at? Oh, you're back there. You ain't got to have words. That's okay if you just go and sing something. If you want that living bread today and you don't have it, it's very simple. You say, Lord, I believe. And I want to be filled. I'm tired of being empty. I'm tired of doing this and this and this, and nothing satisfies. I want security of being filled, God. I want to be satisfied. Say, Lord, I love you and I believe in you. God, I want to be filled by your presence. I want this living bread, Lord, in my life today. Y'all stand with me if you would. Go ahead and sing more.
Now that I've been. I don't want nobody else. Now that I've found you, you have filled my emptiness. The search for all I need is finally through. Now that I've found you, now that I've found you, I don't.
Something more than what they have now. Lord, speak to their hearts and let them realize you are what they're needing. God, you are what they're waiting on. Hang on, Christy. Lord, let every heart in this place hear your voice right now. Let them realize that all of their ways of trying to fill their lives apart from you will never work. That God, we still are in misery and fear, sorrow, and distress. But God, you came to give us life, and life more abundantly. God, you came to give life for the world, for all the ones that make mistakes, and all the ones that fail, and all the ones that sin. God, you came for us. There is no standard we have to meet for you. We just come to you, God. You paid the price for us. And I pray you fill this congregation today with all of you, with all of your joy, with all of your redemption, with all of your forgiveness, with all of your strength, with all of your peace, with all of your power, with all of your anointing, with all of your glory. Fill this sanctuary with all of you today, that we are filled and we walk out satisfied, knowing my trust is in you from here on out. Not the world and not the stuff of the world. It's in you, Jesus, my King, my Savior, my Lord. Fill my mouth, fill my heart, fill my mind, fill my ears with all you have prepared for me, that I will walk out of this place filled with you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory for being our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.